We've been talking about the series entitled Israel Saw and Believed, Really? And we titled it that because it's based on the scripture found in our scripture reading today. And Isabella, you did a beautiful job. And it's based on the scripture. Listen to this. I don't know if you listen to Isabella. Listen to this. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. And so I called it Israel Saw and Believed, Really? And here's why. Part one, Israel saw and believed until there was no water, Exodus 15. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" The people believed until, part two, until there was no bread, Exodus 16. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Part three, until no water, Exodus 17. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And Israel believed until part four, there was no Moses. And when Moses went up on the mountain and was gone 40 days, Exodus 32, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And so Israel saw and believed until part five, there was no McDonald's. Numbers 11. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." And Israel saw and believed until part six, when there was the spirit of dissension. Numbers 12. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because the Ethiopian woman which he had married. So they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. By the way, I'm not doing this because I enjoy going over and over these parts. I'm doing this because it amazes me how much I'm like them. And so Israel saw and believed until, part seven, there were giants. Numbers 13, "We are not able to go up against that people, for they are stronger than we. We saw in it our men of great stature. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in their own sight." And Israel saw and believed until part eight, until Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Number 16, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and On, with 250 leaders of the congregation, men of renown, they gathered together against Moses and Aaron, and they said, "Why then do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord?" And Israel saw and believed until part nine, there was no water again. And this, by the way, is 40 years. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, "Why have you brought up this assembly of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our animals should die here?" and saw Israel, saw and believed until part 10, until it was inconvenient. Numbers 21. Then they journeyed, and the souls of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our souls loathe this worthless bread." And if you remember, we discovered from the writings of Paul that Paul tells us specifically about these events in the Old Testament. Now, these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our admonition, or which is our warning, our instruction, upon whom the ends of the age have come. Folks, don't forget that. We're going to see it. And now the last and part 11 of the series, they saw and believed until the end. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Oh, Father in heaven, we come before you. For at least for me, it's very obvious that I am like those people that you dealt with in the wilderness after they saw all those miracles. All they did was complain for 40 years. And so, Father, we ask you, speak to our hearts and minds today. That includes me. Anything that has to be repaired, fixed, or healed, Lord, do it. For we bow before you and admit that we're sinners. And without you, we're nothing. And so, Lord, do this for us. Do this for me. Organize these thoughts in my mind that they're presented in an understandable, simple way, so we can watch out for the pitfalls that Satan is laying for each one of us, and especially our children. So use me now in spite of my shortcomings, Lord, so that when we're done, we can all say we saw Jesus and we heard Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Numbers 25. Israel saw and believed until the end. Numbers 25. Open your Bibles. Boys and girls, I hope you have your Bibles. I want you to open them up. Not your cell phones, your Bibles. Or at least put them on the Bibles, okay? I'm going to be preaching on that today. Okay. You got Numbers 25? All right, here we go. Now the Israelites remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel has joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel." So Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Every one of you kill his men who were joined to Baal of Peor." And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it. He rose from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, and went after the man of Israel in the tent and thrusted both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel, and those who died in the plague were 24,000. Now, folks, I want you to take a look at this map. I want you to clearly see that Israel now had come out of the wilderness. They were on the plain of Moab, and just as it's green there, it was green where they were encamped on the east side of the Jordan River. And notice right below the camp of Israel was Baal of Peor, and below that was Mount Nebo, the mountain upon which Moses died and was buried. And so we look at we're going to turn to Numbers 22 and get the setting of all of this that we just read in 25. So go back a couple chapters, chapter 22, and we're going to look at the setting. Okay, Numbers 22. I assume you're still there. I hope you're still there. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plain of Moab, on the side of Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that the Israelites had done to the Amorites. And the Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because there were many. And Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the Israelites, to the elders of Midian, "Now this company will lick up everything around us as an ox licks up grass in a field." And Balak, son of Zippor, was king of Moabites at that time. And he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river, that's the Euphrates, by the way, in the land of the son of his people, to call him and say, "Look, a people has come out of Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me, and perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that him who you bless is blessed, and he whom you cursed is cursed." Well, you know who that person is, right? That person is Balaam. And so here the Israelites are on the border of the promised land, ready to move over the Jordan and begin to take possession of the land of milk and honey. After 40 years of wandering, in which this group, which was now about 600,000, were a whole new generation from the one that set out of Egypt, because all they did was complain. And so God sent them back in the wilderness till they all died off. And only Caleb, Joshua, and Moses are now left from the original group. And when the king of Moab saw what was happening, he got together with the Midianites and said, "Hey, let's go call Balaam and have him put a curse on this people." So that's the setting of when this happened at Baal of Peor. All right? And I want you to notice something that's very interesting here, and you'll see why in a second. We're going to put this all together. And that is number two, behind the scenes, while all this is going on, the Israelites had no clue, Moses had no clue, that Baal shows up at the order of Balak, the king, to curse Israel. But notice something that Balak said when the first group of counselors from the king came and asked him to come. Come with us. Come with us. The king wants you. And he will enrich you greatly if you come. And we want you to curse this people. Notice it never said Israel. It said this people that came out of Egypt. And Balaam said to him, part A, though you were to give me a house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God. Amen. That's right. You're on the ball. Way to go, Balaam. Stand up for what's right. Let them know. But you know, Balaam, they sent messengers back to Balaam and he gave in. But notice what God told him a couple verses later. God to Balaam said, but only the words which I speak to you, that you shall do. And then, just as he got there to be asked to curse Israel, notice that God has said, God again said, and by the way, this time it says the angel of the Lord. And if we did a little Bible study, I could show you that usually when it says the angel of the Lord, it's talking about Jesus. Amen. Jesus said to Balaam, but only the words that I speak to you, that shall you speak. Now, please notice two things. Sounds really good here. Balaam, stand up for principle, man. Only what I say. And sure enough, three times, three different locations, three times, and he came back to Balak and said, a blessing upon Israel. Balak went berserk. And Balaam three times reminded him, I told you I can only say what God tells me to say. The other thing is, Israel had no idea what was going on. He was way up on a mountain looking over. In fact, I was thinking, I'm looking over this whole congregation. Would you like me to curse you or bless you? You know, Balak even moved into a spot where he could just barely see a couple tents. Now he said, now you curse them. But God wouldn't let him curse them. And so this was going on behind the scenes. Okay, now, just one more thing. One more thing. Why the delay? Why the delay that will give them the opportunity to begin to do what they did in Numbers 25. The delay was because Moses hadn't died yet, folks. And while all this interchange was going on between Balaam and that, Moses was preparing for the Israelites to cross the Jordan and to take possession of the land in an organized fashion, preparing that Joshua would take his place, knowing that any day now God was going to say, come with me, just as I had you bring Aaron on the mountaintop. And so there was a delay. And my friends, in the time of that delay, a horrible thing took place. And that horrible thing was the Israelites got involved in harlotry. And folks, I want you to understand this. This is God's people. They had marched for 40 years and saw their fathers, their mothers, their aunts or uncles die. They had seen God work miracle after miracle after miracle. And all of a sudden, they go berserk in the worst fashion possible. Well, notice what Jesus said. Just turn quickly with me to Luke 17. And let's take a look at this, bring it down to us. And then I promise you, I'm going to blow you away. Okay? Go to Luke 17, and I'm going to give you the context. The context is found in verse 24, so you know what Jesus is talking about. In Luke 17, 24, Jesus says, "For as lightning that flashes out of one part of heaven and shines to the other part of heaven, so also will the Son of Man be in His day." What is He talking about? What's the context? The second coming of Jesus Christ. Look what He says. "But first, He, Jesus, the Son of Man, must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so will it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them." Okay, my friends? How bad was Sodom and Gomorrah? Yeah, I see the shaking of heads. Really bad. Very immoral. Horribly immoral. Grossly immoral. You read the stories. Now, I'm going to try to work through this while the children are here. Because it actually, you parents need to know this. Right on the borders of the promised land, ready to go in. What sin did Satan bring to the people to keep them out of the promised land? All right, here we go. Everyone you know watches porn. 70% of men and of women, 30%. Take a look at this statistic. This blew me away. I guess I didn't. Do you see the 2 out of 3? Of the HR professionals, no. HR professionals have found that 2 employees out of 3 use their personal employee computer to go on the internet. But I'm not done yet. Take a look at this one. The average time spent on a porn site is 12 minutes. The average viewer visits 7.5 times per month. But get this. Netflix.com has 46 million hits a month. Amazon has 110 million a month. Twitter has 160 a month. YouTube has 800 million a month. But all porn sites have 450 million hits a month. That means the porn sites have more than Netflix, Amazon, Twitter, YouTube combined. I'm not done yet. Did somebody say amen? Okay. Before I show you this slide, check this out. You see, Baal worship, they believed that Baal was the god of fertility. And that means, too, that he was also the god who is in charge of their crops, their success. Or failures. And the teaching was among the heathens that Baal had a wife named Asherah or Asheruth. This is all out of the Bible, by the way. Parents. And if Baal didn't get something at night, the crops would fail. So they came up with the idea that if when we worship Baal, we have orgies, we'll ensure that something will happen at night. And so when you worship Baal, the worst kind of immorality took place. This is exactly what brought the Israelites to the position where God was burning with anger. Now, I'm going to cut to the quick, even though I'm going to blow you away. I'm going to cut to the quick. Folks, we are on the border of the promised land. What is rampant in our world? And it caught the Israelites off guard. Moses didn't even know it was happening until it was a full-blown revolt. One guy, one of the leaders, even brought a woman into the camp in front of everybody. Just like in the days of Noah, just like in the days of Lot, so will it be in the days of the coming of Son of Man. I want you to know I've got the statistics here. Listen to this. 68% of Christian men and 50% of pastors view pornography regularly. Yeah, have mercy. You know what? I try to not personalize things for you. I try to personalize it for me. But let me count the men in here. And when I'm done, 68% of you are likely involved in pornography. This is not to condemn you. This is to alert us. We need to work together. You got to be able to look at your pastors and your elders and say, I need help. I'm going to go and trust them. And trust us until we blow your trust. We need to help each other. These statistics are terrible. Now, parents, hang on. I'm really going to get bad now. But even more shocking is that 11 to 7-year-old boys report being its greatest users. And I wanted to say this for a long time. I'm going to say it right now. If you have given your child a smartphone, you have made a very bad decision. And don't tell me your kid is not on the internet when we see the worst group is 11 to 17. I remember when my wife would sit with Roland and Samuel, who absolutely were angry and livid as could be, and sat there as they were on the computer on the internet. And it had filters on it, but we didn't trust the filters. By the way, I'm going to really get on you. And please forgive me, but we never let our boys stay overnight at somebody else's house. And as pastor, do you think that didn't cause trouble in the congregation? Oh, the pastor's kids are too good for us. And by the way, that came from Ellen White. You do not know what other parents are doing in the house. You do not know what the children are involved in until you have a problem in your own house and you discover it. This is what it says on the website. And by the way, Barna did a research. Barna is very credible. Barna found that 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women admit to viewing pornography at least once a month, compared with 65% of men and 30% of women are identified as non-Christians, that means we're equal with them as far as the men are concerned. We got a problem. And your little son is going to have a problem unless you monitor him more than the culture is advising you to do it. Psychologists, psychiatrists, they have no clue about biblical principles. And who do you think told Balak to send the women in camp? Anybody know who told him? I want you to look at Numbers 31. I want you to look at Numbers 31. I'm wrapping up. But I'm not done yet. There's so many more statistics. This is horrible. This is tragic. Do you have Numbers 31? Okay, I want you to notice what verse 1 says. I want to set the stage here. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Take vengeance on the Midianites for the children of Israel. Afterward, you shall be gathered to your people." See, Moses, you're going to have it shortly. But before you do, I want you to take vengeance on the Midianites for what they did to my people. I'm not there yet, but I want you to look at verse 8. They killed the kings of Midian with the rest of those who were killed, Evi, Rechem, Shur, Her, Reba. The five kings of Midian, Balaam, the son of Peor, they also killed with the sword. What does that tell you where Balaam was? He was living with the Midianites. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's why the Bible says they sent messengers up by the river. That means he was up Babylon way. Midian was on the east side of the Jordan, way south of there. Okay, here we go. I hope this blows you away. Verse 16. Oh no, verse 15. Moses said to them, "Have you kept all the women alive? Look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the exact incident of Peor. So Balak went home licking his wounds that he wasn't rich and famous like he could have been had God let him curse. And he's sitting there and pondering. And all of a sudden he goes, "I know how to curse Israel." And he gets on his donkey at his own expense, travels back to the king, and he says, "Here's what you do. Send the women into the camp. 25,000 were killed. Balaam, he did that. Do you know that 30% of all data transferred across the internet is porn? 30%. Now I'm going to show you a map. The rainbow-colored areas are all the nations that have made same-sex marriages legal. By the way, this map doesn't show Australia, and you can't see New Zealand, but they're on the list. 26 nations, including the United States, who on June 26, 2015, the Supreme Court ordered same-sex marriages legal. Here's the United States map. The dark blue, same-sex marriages legal. The sandy color, same-sex marriages banned, overturned, decision stayed indefinitely, same-sex marriage banned, where federal court, circuit courts has found similar bans unconstitutional. The red, same-sex marriage is banned. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, and I think Hawaii. No, Hawaii passed it. They fought it, passed it, fought it. You count 8? Okay, I'll accept that. And then the purple, same-sex marriages, legality complicated, whatever that means. That's the 3 purple states. Folks, I want you to read this quote from Ellen White, Great Controversy, 459. Are you ready? And the Bible plainly teaches that a time is approaching when the laws of the state will so conflict with the laws of God that whoever would obey all the divine precepts must brave reproach and punishment as an evildoer. Has that happened yet? Has it happened yet? It has. Don't forget television. The cell phones, the smartphones, the computer, television is all smart. Your children are being bombarded with that constantly all day long. And then if they don't go to the church school, that may not be perfect, but it's the church school. They go to public school where their own teachers may be on drugs and may even be gay. You know, you need to get in touch with who you really are. And that's not a bad thing. On the borders of the promised land, Satan used to take out the people of God, the same thing is happening right now. And we are here to come together and help each other overcome, if we're Christian and a member of this church, for victory. No guilt, no shame, and no one else's business if you talk to me. Ask my wife. Amen. This is not the scene we want to be part of. Oh, by the way, I left something out. I'm sure you all know this, don't you? Here's what I left out. Christians around the country are outraged at the California bill that threatened to restrict religious freedom and free speech regarding LGBTQ issues. If you haven't heard, listen to this. Assembly Bill 2940 prohibits the advertising or selling of sexual orientation change efforts. The bill declares books and conferences dealing with biblical view on homosexuality or transgenderism as fraudulent under the state's consumer fraud statute. Ultimately, it could penalize those who encourage and promote biblical views on marriage and sex. It passed the House. It's on its way to the Senate, folks. The United States of America. The bill was approved by the State Assembly last Thursday. Now it goes to the California Senate to vote. Ridiculous. Next, they will ban books about conversion. The adult should make their own decision if they want that kind of therapy or not. It says, I'm going to read it, says one Facebook commentator after seeing the story. But I want to tell you something. Thank you. I appreciate that. Facebook is something you shouldn't be part of. I'm going to say it. It's the greatest purveyor of this socially. And we already started seeing that shenanigans are going on. I'm telling you, talk to Pastor Ryan Johnson, who has studied up on this. I told him today when I found out he should have preached the sermon. That Facebook makes it so that you will get hooked. Especially in this area of sex. So folks, we got to help each other. And if you want to rally together and throw me out, at least I did my part. I believe what I'm saying is true. And we are being attacked in this area because on the borders of the promised land, that's what Satan used to get the people of Israel not to inherit the promised land. Father, I want to thank you for enlightening us today. Even though it may have caused some hurt and pain. And now help us to live up to our name, family. And to help each other without condemnation, ridicule, criticism, without telling other people. That we can help one another as we stand on the very verge of the promised land. So, Lord, bless each one who's here. Any decisions that need to be made, help them to make it. And then send the Holy Spirit to seal those decisions and empower all of us to carry them through. So blessed to this end, Lord. And if anybody wants prayer after the sermon, we're up front. Just for you as well as ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.